Loyal listeners, if you ever wanted to get an ad-free version of the show, make sure you head over to patreon.com/ndtex. You'll not only get an ad-free version of this show, but some bonus content in the form of national recap pods from Shane and I, as well as at least two, more often than not, bonus posts from yours truly. Again, that is patreon.com/ndtex. And I want to thank new Patreon members for the month, Jordan B. and John. Thank you, and thank everybody else for your continued support. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Picks Podcast over here at Her Loyal Sons. I'm your host, Ryan Ritter. You can call me ND Tex. And as always, you can catch this podcast over on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever your podcast feeds are at. We'll be there. Make sure you join us tomorrow or tonight, whenever you're listening to this pod. Thursday, 9 p.m., twitch.tv/HerLoyalSons for The Sim, HerLoyalSons.com/Discord, and of course, we are always at our home at HerLittleSons.com. Had Irish Elvis drop in a little opponent preview in there. With that said, time to bring in Eddie. Eddie, how you doing, my friend?
Ryan, I haven't seen a god-awful interception by a Notre Dame quarterback in like 5 days, so I'm doing okay. How about you?
Oh, God. Yeah, the weekend was painful. I think you had a better vibes being able to be at a wedding and kind of forget some of the bullshit that was going on. Oh, that was no bueno, to say the least.
It was touch and go there for a bit. I had to. There was a decent amount of pregame in with the right. I need to have the right energy coming in because weddings is typically when I'm very fun, and Notre Dame losses are not great for fun making it for Eddie. So we
it was a little bit rough, and we'll see what decisions are made. I think that's about all we can say is we'll see what decisions are made. Hopefully it is of the Drew Pine variety and we can move the hell on from our pain.
Yeah. Back on track. It seems like such an obvious play that you think, why wouldn't we have already made this choice? And, you know, why wouldn't we have made it earlier on Saturday? But I'm not the coach in Notre Dame football history with the most wins in the program, so I don't get a say in this matter.
No, neither of us do. We just get to bitch about it, but we are here for the degenerate side of things, where we will try to prognosticate and predict across the nation here. We've been doing a fairly decent job at it. We had an unfortunate push once again. Damn you, Texas. You had that one in the bag. And
I was real happy that on this, we had 5 because I was sweating out a 4.5 or a 4 in real life.
Oh,
and
yeah,
was real sad when TCU didn't decide to inexplicably go for 2 on their late touchdown.
Yeah, so that brought me 6-5-1. Eddie at 5-6-1. So we have tied things up once again. We are both still well above 500 for the time being. 37-26-2 are our records. We are, of course, playing for the loser to donate $200 to my Extra Life campaign, which has gotten a few little touches now that Tiltify is in the game. Let me do more polls and fun stuff. You can catch that at GameAndForAven.com.
But good timing on that upgrade, because Twitch is apparently caught with their pants down pretty bad today.
Well, unfortunately, I still run things through Twitch, but yeah, this need to create a streaming service or something, Eddie. Things are getting weird over on that platform. But hopefully, all it has to do is stay alive long enough for the Sim to stay alive, and then we'll figure things out from there.
One way or another, or for the Sim to be the final thing that kills it off. One
you
of the
know
two.
What? That would be appropriate. If Her Little Sons is the thing that finally gives Twitch's death knell, I think I'd be happy to hang that on my mantle. All right. Well, enough of that. Let's get to some gambling picks. What do you say, Eddie?
Let's go, baby.
Hail gambler.
All right. Well, we start on a Friday night with a little Pac-12 After Dark. And that's coming at you 9:30 p.m. in God's time zone. You poor, unfortunate East Coast bastards have to stay up to 10:30 to see this bullshit. That's Stanford against Arizona State. Stanford, of course, exists solely to fuck up the Pac-12. They did that very good against Oregon, but now they travel to Hermville, a 12.5-point underdog. Total in this one is 51.5. Eddie, who do you got?
Man, Stanford, what a hot and cold year they've had. You never know what team you're going to get with the trees. Obviously coming off that huge upset over the Ducks, but I'm kind of feeling a letdown here. Arizona State had that rough loss to BYU earlier in the year, but then got right against Colorado, got right against UCLA, been putting up a lot of points again. What pushed me over the edge here to go with Herm's boys, as, you know, usual caveat, blah, blah, blah. 45% of the tickets, but 88% of the money. And Spaplus is more than a touchdown in favor of Arizona State than the current line is. So the people a lot smarter than me seem to be wanting to go with Herm. So Herm's here.
Yeah, I'm going with Herm as well. This is the other side for me. Not just a letdown, but this is typically where Stanford just fucks it up, right? I mean,
yeah.
They win one, they lose one, they win one, they lose one. So got to keep with the pattern here. And I'm going with that pattern. Like you said, Eddie, all the big money metrics are heavy, heavy on the side of Arizona State. This line continues to move. So when I put this on the sheet, it was 12.5. It's now pushed up to 13 in some books. So yeah, I have a feeling this has all the feel of Vegas. Oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. Trying to fix their mistake here. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Sparky as well. Next up, Red River Shootout. Some called a rivalry, Eddie.
Coward. You coward.
Sit here thinking.
By using the proper name, it's an appropriate bullet dodge, so I'll give it to you.
But this is your big noon kickoff over on Fox. Oklahoma is a 3.5-point favorite over Texas. Texas coming in this one pretty hot as well. They've looked pretty decent. Had, like we said earlier, they had TCU dead to rights, but they had some weird, weird stuff going on in that game. But all that being said, for me, Eddie, this comes down to one thing and one thing only, and that's how much do I trust Spencer Rattler? And the answer is not all that damn much. Not that, again, he's not awful. I probably wouldn't be in the student section cheering for his backup, which was, whew. That's rough, man. That's really rough.
Quick hook by the Sooner faithful there.
Yeah, man. You don't live up to Heisman potential. They turn on you. Look, I mean, he has had some mistakes, and for me, he's one of those quarterbacks that doesn't have the particular shootouty style. Even though it looked like for moments they were going to get right against K-State, it looked like they were back on track, and then they were until they weren't. All that being said, I don't trust Spencer Rattler. I do trust Bijan Robinson. Because, oh my God, that guy looks like a stud. And in this situation where we have no idea what the Heisman is actually going to look like, this might be one for a little coming out party. He had 200-plus rushing yards last week. All right, that hot hand. Sorry, Oklahoma. This is where you finally lose. However, I will caveat, this is also a classic spot where Texas fucks up. So I'm terrified of this. Who do you have, Eddie?
I mean, I've been singing Bijan Robinson's praises all year so far. Obviously, the switch over to Casey Thompson continues to provide dividends for the Horns so far. But man, like you said, this feels like one of those where we're coming in. It's like, oh man, what if this is going to be close? This is going to be a good one. And then OU wins by like fucking 28 somehow. You know what? This feels like, what if OU's just been sandbagging this whole time? And now it's when they finally put it back together and they look like the team they're supposed to look like. Throw in the fact that the world is on Texas right now. This, you know, we're in week 6. Obviously, it's been a bit of a chaos year. has not been kind to the books for the most part. This feels like a week where shit gets violent for the squares. The public money, I think, is in trouble. And so I'm going to be riding with the book as much as I can, I think, this week. I'm going to take the Sooners, if for no other reason than I want to fade the public. But one fact worth mentioning, you know, obviously Texas relying on the run game with Bijan Robinson. They lost their left guard last week. So we've seen what happens when you lose guys on the left side of your offensive line.
Is starting the fourth string left tackle a problem, Eddie?
It sure hasn't felt great.
Oh, God, I don't even think Joe Alt was on the depth chart, like, remotely. And here we are.
No, he was there. He was an alternate.
Yeah, like, way down there.
No, it's because his name is Alt.
Oh, Alt. Oh, yeah. All right.
When the joke is so bad, it dips subterranean levels to get by Redder.
Damn it, Eddie.
Submarined him. Let's go.
All right, let's move on to another SEC matchup. See what I did there? Oh, I forgot to mention on the Red River game. I like the under. Like it a lot.
Yeah, I don't hate it, but I think it's a coordinated play. I think if you think Texas is going to win, you're looking for the under. And if you're thinking OU's going to win, you're looking at the over. So, checks out.
I say that's fair. There you go. All right. So, we move to the 11 a.m. kick over on ESPN. And that is two teams that had high hopes, high aspirations, and were brought back down to earth by the number one and two teams in the nation. We're talking Arkansas and Ole Miss. Ole Miss is at home with a 6-point favorite, 66.5 the total. Who do you got, Eddie?
Man, I knew that my Saturday was screwed when the first quarter that I got to watch at the bar was the Arkansas-Georgia first quarter, where they just got shellacked. I think I even tweeted out, if you were planning on following me on Ole Miss Bama, don't do that, because it's it's going to go bad. And man, it went real bad for both. It felt like it was way worse for Arkansas. Ole Miss was able to claw back, get some points. They weren't completely dominated the way that Arkansas was. And I'm still worried that KJ Jefferson's just not all the way back. I think he's still hurting. So with that, I think Ole Miss is going to have a much easier time rebounding than Arkansas, ironically, because usually we think about Bama as the major body blow type team. But this year, that's Georgia. Georgia's defense is just violent. I mean, those boys were coming to hurt people. So I think Arkansas is going to have a little more time they're going to need to work it out, especially against a much quicker-paced Ole Miss offense. You get Ole Miss at home, and Kiffikins, when he's a favorite, he gets a job done. 8-3 against the number, his last 11 as a favorite. So I will take, once again, the oldest Mississippi you have, please.
Well, I will once again disagree with you here, sir. Even though I think you make some valid points, I think Georgia's just a completely different animal. And I feel like Arkansas is getting a little bit punished more heavily and maybe a little bit more love on the fact that Lane's team can actually put up points a little bit better of a clip. I do like Arkansas's defense. Obviously, Ole Miss is going to put up points, but Ole Miss's defense is just fucking trash. I think this game could be a little ping-pongy. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and play it safe, or at least I feel play it safe, and lay the points. I mean, Arkansas has been doing nothing but covering all season long. They've done nothing but cover until they ran up against the Georgia train. Unfortunately for me, that's what Ole Miss has done too, until they ran into the Alabama train. So for me, I'm going to go with who I feel is a better team. I think Arkansas is. I am worried about KJ Jefferson. That was one of the reasons I faded him last week. And yeah, getting demolished by Georgia's defense probably didn't help, but he's still playing. He can't be too bad at that point. So that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping he comes back strong and gets me another win over you, Eddie. Next up. Oh, boy, if you thought last week we dove into some sicko shit, may I introduce you into yet another game. A game so terrifyingly awful, you can only find it on a place called Flow Sports at 2 p.m. I don't know how you get that. I think it's one of those subscription services where you have to pay way too much money and you probably only have it to watch a sport that is not football. So
big lacrosse channel, probably.
I have no idea. I could look it up, but I'm not going to. I won't be watching this game. I will be following somebody's tweets. I'm talking about UConn and UMass. And friends, do me a favor. Google the words UConn-UMass rivalry and check out the Wikipedia page where the two logos are placed next to each other, the C of UConn and the UM of UMass. Yes, folks, if you're doing the spelling, we have the cum bowl.
It's funny. It's funny because it says cum.
It is. I didn't even know this was a rivalry, and I saw somebody post it on Twitter. I'm like, that's got to be bullshit. Somebody photoshopped that. Nope, it exists. It's real.
how we don't have Baylor Texas Tech happening this week as well, I have no idea.
Yeah, if only we had a button cumble like right next to each other, that would be. So make sure now you got to be careful when you Google. Make sure you do the school names and not button cumble. Those are completely different searches. One of those you do in incognito mode. The other one you can do on your work browser. Anyway, UConn, believe it or not, is a favorite. Winless UConn is a favorite at 3.5 points. The total of this one is 55.5. Eddie, I was going to do a bit here where I was going to share my screen and show you a little something I was going to do, but I got lazy and didn't prepare for it.
as you know, one does.
You know that this game just screams, I need to do some kind of stupid bullshit. And I can't bet on Clark Lee, so that stupid bullshit factors out. So you know what stupid bullshit I'm going to do, Eddie, just to say I did it?
I have no idea.
I'm going to take UMass on the motherfucking money line, yo. Fade the shit out of UConn. You can't be. You lost to Vandy on a game-winning field goal where there was a guy running the flag across the field when he's kicking the goddamn field goal. Vandy is such a mess. I can't believe. I mean, bits aside. Oh, God, that game was awful. UConn is just one of those teams that I think is just cursed. And the curse that they have to deal with is, maybe you win a football game, but it's going to be like the skin of your teeth. It's fairly like Charlie Weissian feel. Like, even when you win, you still feel like you lost. So 3 points sounds about right to me. Who do you got, Eddie?
I was at the wedding, in line at the bar, and was looking at scores and saw the game cast of Vandy kicking the game-winning field goal. I could not make a UConn moneyline parlay because it was not offered by the local. I would have been so mad if I had lost the money line play on that field goal. But I thought it was hilarious that it was even in contention. UConn has lost in the last 2 weeks. They've lost by a combined 4 points.
Oh, they're getting better.
The combined spreads in those two games was 45.5.
Go ahead.
Now, that being said, the entire world, and I mean, for real, 82%, literally. 98%, not that many bets, admittedly, but still, 82-98 are on a team that is 0-for on the year, and Spapluz has UMass, not covering, but winning this game by 5.
I love it! Yeah, buddy!
Let's go, Minutemen, mount up.
Okay, join me on that money line, Eddie.
Fuck no.
This is YOLO betting at this point. Just a little sprinkle.
No, thank you. I'm good.
Oh, I'm so happy for this. This is going to be easily the dumbest bet I've ever made. I don't care if it hits or not. It's just I'm going to have it on a ticket, and it's going to be great. I can't wait. Next up, a game that's admittedly a little bit better than what we just did. This will be on ABC in the following slots of 2:30 in God's time zone. Boise State and BYU. BYU is a 5.5-point favorite. Total is 57. Who do you got, Eddie?
I don't like this at all. I want no part of this game. You know, BYU is undefeated on the year, but they're only 3-2 against the number. So, again, I'm fading the public. It's 87-98 on BYU right now. Let's go, Boise.
Well, I'm just going to sit there, roll right back up with the public as well, because I have not been impressed by a whole lot of what Boise State has done this season. So BSU rather. And look, BYU, a lot of is obviously going to be made about Cincinnati and their playoff run after beating Notre Dame. I mean, obviously you take out a top 10 team and you have another Power 5 win. It's going to be noticed, but, little old BYU over there is putting quite a few skins on the wall themselves, and they're building themselves quite a resume. Boise State would make a nice addition to said resume. I've liked what they've been able to put together ever since they had the Holy War against Utah, didn't have a letdown, they've been cover machines as well for the most part. They had a weird game against, that was USF where they had a weird one. I had it on the Boise one up again. But other than that, they've been covering. They had a weird game against Arizona, beat Utah, beat Arizona State. Again, two little darlings, typically like mid-tier darlings of the Pac-12. So they're not huge skins, but they're skins. So I'm gonna keep riding with the public. Here's the other thing I like about it, Eddie. That line started at 3. I checked it just recently. It is now at 6, so it is still on the rise. This has definitely been one of those weird years where the books are just like, help, please, anybody.
Yeah,
they don't know how to react to this chaos here either, and it's just been wild to see.
They've definitely been chasing a lot this year.
Hey, I don't blame them. It's been a weird year all the way up and down, and you know, I just look for it to continue. All right, next up is Auburn and Georgia. One of college football's oldest rivalries. This battle will be down in the plains where Georgia is favored by 15 points. Line opened at 10. That should tell you where I'm going. I'm heading right to Georgia before that line comes up anymore. That defense is, like Eddie mentioned it earlier, in regards to the Arkansas game, is absolutely brutal. And look, Bo Nix did an amazing Houdini impression. Good Bo Nix showed up for the first time in like 3 years. That was great. You did it against a mediocre LSU team on the road. You're not going to be able to do that running around bullshit for 3 hours against Georgia. They're going to hit you the first time, and they ain't going to let you go. Look, it was nice to see Auburn get a win. I would love for them to be anything competitive on this one. But once we hear it, that's about when the game will be close, and then from then on out, it's going to be a runaway beating. Who do you got, Eddie?
Yeah, I don't know if Bo Nix was good in that game or Bo Nix was good lucky in that game. My pops always taught me it's better to be lucky than good, and I think Bo Nix was living that life on Saturday. We talked about chasing lines. Like you said, opened at 10, up to 15. This is going to pass 17 by kickoff, I would wager.
And I'd still be on it.
Yeah, there is no chance I'm taking Bo Nix against this defense. Georgia's fucking nasty. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's at Auburn. Give me the dogs.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, we're going to take a little bit of break to get to the other half of a six-pack. We got a top 5 matchup, some more SEC action, and, of course, Notre Dame heading to Blacksburg. All coming up next.
Loyal listeners, if you ever wanted to get a deeper insight into the Notre Dame football program from somebody that lived it as both a player as well as in the inside of the athletic department, we suggest picking up a copy of If These Walls Could Talk, Stories from Notre Dame Fighting Irish Sideline, Locker Room, and Press Box by none other than Reggie Brooks himself. Reggie will dive into everything from his time playing under Lou Holtz all the way up to the experiences of watching Brian Kelly lead today's Fighting Irish. And we are happy to extend a 25% offer off the book just by going to herloyalsons.com/book. Make sure you use the code WALLSND25, that's WALLSND25, when you make your order. Again, head over to herloyalsons.com/book. Use the code WALLSND25 and enjoy a great addition to your Notre Dame football library.
And we are back. Yes, as teased, I cannot believe this game. is a top 10 matchup, much less a top fucking 5 matchup. 3 p.m. on Fox. Penn State, Iowa. I are favored by a whole paltry 2 points. The total in this one is currently sitting at a big old 41. Who do you got in this rock fight, Eddie?
Might be 10 too high. I don't know. this is a top 5 game. It's mind-blowing. I think that speaks to the year, because if you watch either of those teams, I'm not trying to disparage and say that they are not good teams, but you watch either one of these, do you really see top 5? That's fucking crazy to me. I'm going to go with Iowa here. I think being at home is a huge help. I think they have shown such a skill for taking the ball away from their opponents, and Penn State is maybe okay with coughing up the ball every now and then. I think that'll help. I will happily take Kirk Ferentz over James Franklin on a game day, any day of the week. And
fair.
And you know, Penn State's problem is they are bad on third down this year. And we've seen them get shut down on the ground in at least 2 games so far. Iowa's got a pretty good running defense. So I just, you know, that total's as low as it is for a reason. And I think this is a good old-fashioned rock fight. Iowa likes winning rock fights at home, so give me the Hawkeyes.
I'm going to steal a bit here, Eddie. I'm going to give you a little bit of a bonus.
Okay.
Wonder.
Ooh.
We got Crosswinds, Eddie, at 17.2 miles an hour.
Shout out to the Fullcast.
Yeah. Shout out to a Punkcast, sir.
Did I say Fullcast? I meant Punkcast. I'm sorry.
The other fun podcast.
I'm blaming the all of the good vaccine drugs flowing through me right now.
Got all the antibodies triggering and everything in here.
All delicious.
Well, yeah, I had to throw that in there because I was scrolling around and saw that. I'm like, ooh, baby, I was already going to take this sucker under 40s to begin with. Oh, but I'm definitely going to do it now.
Good old Fornelli will have that one for us tomorrow on Friday.
Yeah, this is the ultimate one, considering the teams that are playing too.
Oh, yeah.
It's already a rock fight to begin with. You might take the under already, now knowing you got Crosswinds. Buddy, there's your play on this game. But I actually have to pick a side in this one, unfortunately.
Indeed.
You bring up a great point about the turnovers, and at some point, man, that shit's got to run out, right? I mean, there's a point where you're good, but when you're Maryland and you turn it over 7 times, I think the problem is you. Mm-hmm. And Iowa State did the same damn thing. It's like every big game, it's like the other team has just shat themselves and just been atrocious with protecting the ball. And yeah, Penn State will worry me as well, mostly because of their offense, just kind of in general. But you know what? The thing that put me over the edge, Eddie, you mentioned many times about the greatness that is the Rakes Report. Have you listened to the latest episode?
I have not.
Well, if you had, you would have gotten this nugget of knowledge, and I'm glad you didn't, because I'm glad I get to drop it. You are very well of Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic.
Of course, fantastic.
She was a guest on this week's Rakes, and one thing that was casually mentioned were the games that she covered. She's been to multiple games featuring top 10 teams. She's been to Ohio State and Oregon. She went to Cincinnati and Notre Dame. She is going to be at Penn State and Iowa. Eddie, what do those first 2 games have in common?
The road team won, Ryan.
The road team won outright. Nicole Auerbach is the top 10 home angel of death. Third time ain't going to be a charm. Wave to the kids. Bye-bye to your ranking in the first quarter, Kinnick. It's going all Nittany Lions. Rawr!
Okay. Penn State. Okay. It would have worked better if they had all been road dogs and won outright. I would have been scared.
It would have.
But given it's not, I think I'm okay. I will not buy into the supposed magic of a Michigan Wolverine.
Hey, you know what? Fair. That is very fair, but I'm going to roll with it. I was already leaning Penn State to begin with, and that sealed it. I'm like, all right, I got to take them now.
I respect it.
Other respect. If you remember, those that actually listened to this bullshit for a long time, I did a bit with Iowa a long time ago. Yeah, I still didn't forget that. I still haven't forgotten your bullshit, Iowa.
You know what? That's been my favorite bit because it led to the most I've ever won on one single game in that Iowa Stanford Bowl game.
Yep.
Ooh. Ooh, baby.
All right, let's move to the SEC Network as we get to the evening kicks at 6:30 Central Time. LSU faces the upset Kings of Kentucky. 3.5 point they are favored. The Wildcats over the Tigers. 50.5 is the total. And this one, I hate this game. I wish I hadn't put this on here, but it was one of the few entertaining games I could find for the night slate. Here's where I see this, the two sides here. Kentucky, yes, they had a great upset against Florida. Their defense played lights out, but they were also had a little help with some turnovers, a blocked field goal that helped make the difference in that game. LSU might be mediocre-ish, decent-ish, I don't know. Obviously, they couldn't beat a Bo Nix team, which isn't very good in their favor. But the way I'm reading this line, I like Kentucky. I like their defense. I'm just wondering how they're going to be able to put up any points. LSU's defense has improved. And Eddie, I know you got a theme of the whole world is going to one side, but here I go again, just waltzing in, whistling around, saying, hi, everybody, I'm here for the trap. How you doing? Go ahead. Oh, actually, wait, I'm taking the opposite here. I can't read. I had LSU marked down on my sheet and I tried Kentucky's. Okay, so I'm actually fading the public for change.
So who are you taking? I'm confused.
I'm taking LSU.
Okay.
Because I thought I was walking back because my theme's been going with the public. This one, I actually disagree with the public. I think too many people are getting very happy with what Kentucky did. I just don't see enough for them to cover. They might win. They might win by 3 points. Don't know if they're going to win by more than that. Who you got, Eddie?
You're right. It is currently 65-71 for Kentucky. Obviously, UK coming off that big upset over Florida. LSU coming off the Auburn loss. I don't like the hook here. I don't like the fact that it is a slight public lean as of right now. But what pushed me over the edge was the news that Derek Stingley Jr. is donezo.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He had surgery.
And he's about the only thing worth a damn on that defense. I mean, we saw how their tackling ability last week. It was ugly. So I'm terrified by the hook. I'm terrified that this line is a dual overreaction. But you know what? I gotta jump in one of these traps, I guess. So we're not.
So you were the one waving, and I was projecting and predicting what you were gonna do.
Yeah, Eddie. we're gonna go ahead and jump in one pool that may have some piranhas in it.
Well, how about this pool that we're gonna go wade into, Eddie? That is the primetime game on ABC. This is how you know this week might be a little bit leaner than last week was. Because this bullshit's in prime time. Michigan and Nebraska on ABC. Oh, Christ. 3.5 points. Michigan is favored on the road. 51 is the total. Who do you got, Eddie?
Ryan, you know we've been talking about pools. You know where this pool is?
On the really, really dirty side.
It's at a fucking wastewater treatment plant because this line fucking stinks. It opened at 1.5. It's moved up at least 2 to 3.5, but that's with over 4,000 bets on Action Network and 80% of the tickets, 81% of the money. Everyone is on Michigan. Here's the thing. We've all been making a lot of jokes about Nebraska. If you look at how they've played, they are playing a hell of a lot better. Like, their defense is actually kind of legit. They should have beat Sparty. Last week, they put up 56 on Northwestern, who most years you've got the press and all of the Medill grads who can't jerk themselves off fast enough to Pat Fitzgerald and his defense, and he's giving up 56 fucking points to this Nebraska team? Something ain't right here. It stinks. It looks like a cartoon pile of doo-doo with flies and stink lines coming off of it. On this Scott Frost day, I am taking the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
You know what, Eddie? You took a lot of words right out of my mouth. One thing you didn't add into there. Do you know what Nebraska has done since face planting against Illinois?
What's that?
They've done nothing but fucking cover. 5 in a row they're going at. And yes, like you said, they are still not a great football team. They've been covering. And again, Michigan on the road. Eventually, one of these, they got to get God at one of these points, right? At some point, Michigan on the road has to come back to get them. And I think this could be the week. The thing is, Graham Mertz is just so bad. Like, the opportunities were there. Michigan's offense is a... That stink line that you saw, that pile of doo-doo with the you know, the flies and everything, that is also Michigan's offense.
Yeah, they should have won that game by like 40 last week.
They're so bad. And look, we know something about watching bad offenses at this point in the game. So, man, it's a matter of time. This is when the downturn starts for Michigan. Because eventually they're going to have all their classic trip-ups coming up. Little brothers around the corner. Ohio State still lurking at the edge there. So, yeah, I have no faith in Michigan whatsoever to cover this game. So go ahead and like you said, Eddie, this is one where the public is all over Michigan. And that line is not making that meteoric rise and continuing and the books going, oh, shit. They're like, no, we're good. This one's fine.
Yeah.
We're staying here.
Yep.
So that is the big red flag for me that, oh, everybody's fucked. Let me go run to the other side. All right, let's go ahead and get a little Pac-12 primetime action featuring our good friends from Southern Cal taking on Utah. 3-point favorite is Southern Cal at home. This will be 7 o'clock on Fox. Oh, talk about another team where I can't get a fucking beat on them. Stanford's very much the same way as SC. SC's up, SC's down, but it kind of feels like they're somewhat getting it handled. Utah, on the other hand, I don't even know. The only thing I do know is they haven't covered a fucking spread all year long. So with that said, go ahead, Eddie. Hit me with it.
Noted Southern Cal enthusiasts.
Yeah. Who do you got?
Give me the Utes. You know who's not here for Southern Cal this week? Jackson Dart. No Jackson Dart, no USC pick out of your boy. Southern Cal has gone win, loss, win, loss, win this year. That means
I don't like the pattern.
They're clearly due for a loss. Utah obviously has had its problems this year, but their last game, they got a nice win over Wazoo. And they're coming off a bye. And we're now far enough into the season where you guys starting to get dinged up. That bye can be useful, especially when you think about the fact that, like, this is the first kind of real year back. You know, last year, yeah, there were some games, but the full campus experience being back and, like, actually going to classes and shit. So I think by now, getting a bye week is actually pretty helpful. So... throw in the fact that it's 68-67 on Southern Cal right now, and I get to keep my public fade going. Let's give me them youths.
All right, fair enough. Next up, we got the rare doubleheader primetime on CBS. Alabama, Texas A&M. Oh, man, everybody was all over the Aggies' junk that this is the spot where they could get Alabama. Then they went and fucked around and lost to Mike Leach at home. So, Aggies at home. Aggies a home dog by a big old paltry 17.5 points. Who do you got, Eddie?
I'm going to be the fucking mark. I'm going to take Aggie here.
God damn. Eddie!
Look, picking against Bama seems very dumb, especially with an A&M team that doesn't seem that good. But their chances are done. Like, A&M doesn't really have anything to play for anymore. This isn't the big spotlight spot that they always fuck up in. So now it's just, hey, let's go out there and sling it a little bit. That's still a very talented team. You've got on the line specifically, like, Texas A&M's D-line... outside of Georgia's, I don't know if you're taking anybody else's in the country. Even with all of the issues that A&M's had, and obviously Bama looks fantastic, 17 sure does feel like a number that this could end on. You've got the entire world is on Bama. Everyone felt bad going to Ole Miss last week. And it's like, okay, we learned our lesson. We're going to go back to Bama. 93-97, Ryan. I want that weird fake Army cult getting loud. I want Aggie to just hang in there. You ain't got to win. You ain't got to do anything crazy. Two-score game is fun for everybody. Give me Aggie.
How are they scoring points? Did you figure that in your pick?
Weird strip six by the D-line.
like honestly, you're basically hoping that Bama doesn't score 20. I mean, that's really where you're at right now, because if that happens, they're probably covering. This offense is fucking garbage and a half. They couldn't score against Mississippi fucking State, okay? They couldn't. They haven't been able to score against anybody so far this season.
I mean, Mike Leach is well known for being a defensive genius, Ryan. I don't know why that's a surprise.
Eddie, they scored 34 points against goddamn New Mexico. Okay.
Yeah.
They only scored 10 against Colorado.
It feels bad. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. But it is. This is purely fade the public. I feel like you're pissed because you're going to try and talk yourself into it too.
No, I'm not going to. Fuck Jimbo. Fuck his extension. You know what? You'd want to know why that money's so high? Because Jimbo's doing a fucking embezzlement scheme right now with his extension, shoveling all his money over and fading his own ass because he knows he can't coach worth a shit. And it's all guaranteed money, so what the fuck does he care if he loses a game?
I mean, it's not a bad life.
I can't with this team, Eddie. I fucking can't. And then you got that whole, like, yell leader running around, ruining. If you ever thought that there was a mystique to Midnight Yell, go watch that video that's floating around Twitter right now with the dude. He's the fucking Joker.
The classic, like, stock. I thought you said a laughing stock.
Oh my God. I was like, fucking, what are you doing?
Aggies are fucking weird, man. I know you're buddies with a bunch of them. I know that you like A&M. Some weird, arguably the weirdest fan base in college football.
They are very weird. They are lovably weird. But what was shown there was, like, that was an abomination. That ain't Midnight Yell, because you could even hear, like, there wasn't a whole lot of yelling and hooting and hollering about his joke. There was a whole lot of, the fuck's he going with this? Oh, laughing stock. Okay. Fucking. And the best part about that, watch that video again and see the dude doing the sign language. Just like, get me the fuck out of here. This sucks. God. God, this team sucks so bad. Their offensive line might be worse than Notre Dame. Alabama's going to fucking feast. They can score points. Aggie can't. I don't care. 100% of the money could be on Alabama, and I would throw it in right there with them. If Jimbo pulls this out of his ass, I will celebrate, yes. I will also feel bad because they'll give him yet another fucking extension.
Get him up to 11 guaranteed a year.
My God. He's gonna be buried next to the Million Revelries right outside the stadium, because he's going to buy like a fucking plot of land right by their graves. Anyways, yeah, Roll Tide. Fuck you, Jimbo. Fucking forever. Fuck you. Cannot believe you took them, Eddie. What the fuck is wrong with you?
We're fading the public, man. Give me that house money.
All right. Well, we're moving on now. Let's talk about things to calm me down. Let's talk about Notre Dame going on the road to Blacksburg as a paltry 1-point fucking favorite against Virginia Tech. Total on this one is 46.5. This game, I tell you what, they picked the right network for it. 6:30 on the ACC network. Oh, God. I would really like to pick this line if I knew who the starting quarterback was. If it's Jack Cohn, no me gusta. I don't like this.
I mean, is there any chance it's not Drew Pine? It has to be, right?
It has to be. It fucking has to. And there is so much fucking money on Virginia Tech right now in comparison to the tickets. So the split is thus: for Notre Dame, 62 of the bets, 33% of the money.
It's very bad for us.
That's very bad because that gives Virginia Tech 38% of the tickets, 67% of the money. Action Network has all these little like telltale things that they give in there. So the big money's one of them. That's on here. They got Sharp Action on VT's side. They got their power rankings on VT's side. And thus far, they have two of their experts that have picked the games, and both have leaned Tech. It ain't good. It's really not. This team has the ability. They really do. And that's been the most frustrating part about this whole thing. Offensive line issues aside, these fuckers have found a way to win every single time, except when they decided to spot a good team a lot of points. And hey, guess what? You can't win doing that. So if Notre Dame cleans it up, if they start the good QB, I like them to win this game. Because on the Virginia Tech side, I mean, they beat UNC. I don't know how much stock to put into that because I don't even know what to feel about UNC right now because they've looked better, but in the ACC, everything's kind of a fucking toss-up. And then beyond that, they have just looked not great. This is a team that can only put up 21 points against the Richmond Spiders. I have to believe that Notre Dame's defense could hold these guys to less than 20. For the love of God, start Drew Pine, score 20 points, get the fuck out of Blacksburg with the win. Jack Cohn starts. Obviously, I can't do provisionals. I can't hit a provisional ball out here. I got to stick with it. But I will say this. If Jack Cohn starts, your boy is going to be very, very, very much looking to hedge on whatever I can on that live line. So hold your tickets as long as you can, folks. Don't fire away until you know better. I'll go ahead and take the Irish. And this is by far the least confident I've been because I don't know, literally don't know what's going to show up for offense right now. If I knew, I'd feel better or worse, but it is where we are. Eddie, the floor is yours.
I'm still on the Irish here. You know, it's funny because last week's game, and I don't mean to discredit Cincinnati when I say this, even though it's going to sound like it. I don't feel like Cincinnati beat us. I feel like we beat ourselves, which, you know, the Catholics do not appreciate when you beat yourself. That's not supposed to do that, Notre Dame.
Yeah, we just had a former recruit talk about no sex on campus. Trust me, any future Notre Dame or current students, if you are really thinking that's what happens on a college campus, that shit, yeah.
Did you see Brady Quinn quote tweet that with lol?
Yeah, I did. I also saw, I forgot who did it. I think it was one of our older wide receivers. And he posted a photo of a current married student on Instagram holding with his wife and holding his baby.
That's awesome.
So I was like, buddy.
But back to the game. You know, I feel like the defense played like a win. The offense gave that game away with ridiculously bad turnovers. I mean, that first Jack Cohn pick. That was a Dane Crist, Tommy Reese red zone turnover style.
That was some YOLO. Watch this shit.
The turnovers were just horrendous and completely gave the game away. You know, you mentioned Virginia Tech beat North Carolina. North Carolina's vaunted defense. We all know the whole book on North Carolina is their defense is terrible. Virginia Tech only scored 17. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not a team that puts up points. Our O-line is an absolute fucking trash fire. I understand why folks are calling for Quinn's head. You know, the recruiting has been great. It really has, but oof, aloof, the technique, and obviously the injuries play a huge part in it, but, I mean, just bare fundamentals look like shit. It's
yeah,
rough.
Like I said last week with Brian Kelly talking about, oh yeah, this person's injured, by the way, been injured for a while. I was like, how hurt are we right now?
Yeah, you know, let's get that training table back in play and get folks healed up. I just this line is too low. I think Notre Dame still wins. They've gone to Blacksburg and won before. You know, obviously Lane Stadium gets up. They get loud, but I think Indy has shown that they can handle that, and it's also a crowd that will get quiet if you make them. So with all that being said, I trust the defense, even though I cannot trust the offense. I hope it's Drew Pine, but even then, is he going to have enough time with that line? Who knows? But I do trust the defense, and especially with the little that VT has shown on offense, I'm going to ride with the D here, and we'll take Notre Dame to win and cover.
Riding with the D, huh?
Got to.
More sex jokes, Eddie.
We gave up on Phoenix, but we'll ride the D on this one.
Yeah, so Chris Fink was the one that did it. And I almost said Robbie Toma because he was the first one that replied to him.
Gotcha. That's funny.
Yeah, so yeah, good times. Yeah, I mean, look, I agree. We handed the game away to Cincinnati. And the thing is, you can't fault Cincinnati because they did what good teams do. They took advantage of mistakes.
Yeah.
What did Notre Dame do against Wisconsin? They took advantage of a lot of Graham Mertz mistakes. That's just and it was embarrassing when Wisconsin made those mistakes. Notre Dame was only embarrassed by the fact they lost at home. As far as the score goes, it was not as bad as it probably should have been. And that was, like you said, it's because of the defense. I mean, and that's what I'm, again, this is very much the rest of the schedule, with maybe exception of SC, maybe North Carolina. I'll see how I feel closer to that game. This is a defense that is looking at the offense, score 20, we got you. And that's really, especially in this game, I feel like that's what we got to do. And holy shit, if we can't get 20 against Virginia Tech, I don't even know, Eddie.
Well, and it's just a matter of who shows up. You know, obviously we talked about turnovers, we talked about the O-line issues. I mean, you've got plays like Kevin Austin doesn't have a dude around him for 20 fucking yards and just clean drop. I don't know if he was, thinking of the movie brutal. He wanted to make or what. It, you know, Meyer gutted it out, and God, I was ready to throw my glass at the screen if they didn't get him off the fucking field there by the end, because you could tell he was hurting. You know, how healthy is he? From the very little we've heard in reports, it seems like he should be okay, but are you really going to risk him if he's still got a limp hammy going out there and hurting himself more and losing major time? There's a lot of questions on offense. There's a lot of things to work out. But kids, hey, look, the thing about having really long home streaks is streaks come to an end. That's what they do. Good news is you can always start yourself up another one. There's no shame in losing to a good team. And be clear, Cincinnati is a good team. They're a top 10 team for a reason. We'd said, at least I'd said coming into the year, that was the game that scared me the most. And we talked about, look, this was probably a two-loss team coming into the year. When you look at all the talent that was gone, you're not going to win every game. It's very hard to win every game. If this college football season alone has taught you anything, I hope it's that. But you know, we're not dead. We're not done. Still plenty of football to be played. Still plenty of wins to be gotten. A lot of fun to be had. So let's get back out there. Get yourself some tasty food, some tasty snacks. Figure out where the hell the ACC network is on your TV. Maybe easier to just pull up an app with ESPN and do it on there, because I don't even know if I have ACC Network on my TV. We might be going to the app for that one. Who knows? But enjoy it. It's early October. We got plenty of football left, baby. We're not done. So get back out there. Tell the family that you still don't want anything to do with them, because it's still football time. It's going to be good. And that's really all I got. So as always, go Irish. Hail Gambler.
All right, and that is going to do it for us. Thank you for everybody that came on and listened. Make sure you subscribe over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you happen to get your podcast feeds at. Make sure to join us for The Sim, Her Loyal Sons. twitch.tv/HerLoyalSons. That's where you can find that at 9 p.m. Central. And make sure you join the Discord, HerLoyalSons.com/Discord, and always at HerLoyalSons.com. Till next time, y'all, go Irish, beat Hokies. Have a good one.